Welcome to X Literature, the X Literature Conference, and thank you for coming. My name is Jeff Ballou, and I'm the chairperson of the Electronic Literature Organization's Preservation, Archiving, and Dissemination Planning Committee. We call that PAD for short. The purpose of this conference is to discuss the growing inaccessibility of works of electronic literature, some of the findings of a year-long effort to address that problem through PAD, and to put PAD in a broader context of issues in digital preservation, copyright, scholarship, and art. I'd like to take a few minutes here at the outset to provide some background for this meeting, how we got here, so to speak. Before I do that, though, I'd like to thank ELO's co-sponsor for this event, the Digital Cultures Project, and especially its director, Bill, professor here at UCSB. Bill has been instrumental in developing PAD, serving as chairperson of its copyright and open source committee, and as the organizer of this event. I'd also like to thank UCSB Professor Alan Liu, who's right there, who's provided tremendous guidance on all aspects of the PAD project in his role as a member of the board of ELO, as a member of the PAD Planning Committee, and as chairperson of PAD's Technology and Software Development Committee. Without Alan's deep insights into the central issues of preserving and disseminating electronic literature, and without his tireless efforts to address them with what I believe are far-reaching and realistic plans for technical development, along with the work of his talented committee, we'd not be here today. Finally, I'd like to thank Melissa Stevenson, graduate student here at UCSB, and Lynn Thompson, who Bill also mentioned, who's a staff person in charge of finance here, for their many hours in helping organize this event. One more thank you is in order, and making it will provide a link to the beginning of the story about why we are here. Almost exactly a year ago, ELO held the first ever international symposium on the state of the art of electronic literature at UCLA. Attended by most of the leading writers, publishers, scholars, and critics in the field, this symposium was wide-ranging in its focus, hitting on nearly all the key topics surrounding electronic literature. But as a result of one very brief comment buried towards the end of a brilliant 42-page keynote made by Professor Catherine Hales, we are all gathered here today to talk about only one topic, preserving works of electronic literature. Near the close of her expansive overview of the state of the art of electronic literature, Kate Hales said the following: "Strictly speaking, an electronic text is a process rather than an artifact one can hold in one's hand. It cannot be accurately said to reside in a CD-ROM, a diskette, or even on a server. What exists at such locations are simply data and commands. Coming into existence as a text, the user can experience requires that the appropriate software run on the right hardware. If that software is obsolete, or if the operating system cannot recognize the commands, in a literal sense, the work does not exist." While most of what she said that day had little or nothing to do with the problem of preservation and will likely have longer relevance to the understanding of electronic literature, this brief remark about the dangerous, often short life that works of ELIT lead set the underlying theme of the rest of the symposium. Whether we were talking about writing, publishing, reading, studying, or teaching ELIT, it was clear that the issue of obsolescence, the impending and certain death due to rapid technological advance with bias towards the future and insolence towards the past, had gripped the attendees in a headlock. The reactions were interesting. Electronic literature scholars and teachers leapt to the topic with aggressiveness, the aggressiveness you'd expect from a group that finds themselves losing access to items on carefully constructed course syllabi of ELIT even as the semester begins, and whose critical work often reaches its readers just as the e-text in question becomes inaccessible. In contrast, some writers demonstrated a weariness about the topic, born of having grown accustomed to loss and the futility of hours of recoding their work, only to find their investment of time as rapidly outbid by some large software company's relentless investment in the planned obsolescence of the most popular OSs, authoring systems, readers, and browsers. Interestingly, other writers took the so postmodern as to be Rabelaisian stance that one of the really important things about ELIT is that it soon disintegrates into technical oblivion. that we should get over it, that we should in fact celebrate obsolescence. Other writers, less experienced maybe, or more emboldened by the last few years of open source development, or just naturally more positive in outlook than their colleagues, focused on what could be done to make works last. Publishers talked about strategies for preserving the works they helped give birth to, most of them naturally limited by their resources and the kind of work they publish. At least one publisher denied the problem existed, probably speaking from the perspective of someone who has the advanced technical skills required to resurrect dead works from their digital graves. In any case, the reaction was wide and deep, and ELO was immediately clear that preserving works of ELIT was where we could make the greatest difference, and that as the organization that stands at the nexus of writers, publishers, scholars, and teachers of ELIT, we were best situated to do so. So thank you, Kate Hales, for finding a way to get us all together in beautiful Santa Barbara. Wish you were here. Most of what you'll hear about in the next 2 days is the result of a year of investigation and planning conducted by PAD's Central Planning Committee and 5 subject-oriented committees, one each for technology and software development, copyright and open source, archiving and display, academic dissemination, and operations. These committees of dedicated volunteers contain computer scientists, digital librarians, and preservationists, writers, teachers, and scholars of ELIT. Their work has resulted in a high-level blueprint for 3 years of operational work, a plan we expect both to begin and to further develop during an initial year made possible by seed funding. The plan, as you will hear, centers on a two-pronged technical development strategy, the development of readers and emulators that bring largely inaccessible works authored with a few important but obsolete technologies back to life will quickly make a wide dent in the problem. But more importantly, in the long term, will be the development of metadata standards and schema and tools based on them that will hasten the resurrection of all works, increase the ability of students and scholars to study ELIT, and greatly increase the life expectancy of new works created in compliance with these standards. While technology, of course, is at the heart of solving what is essentially a technical problem, PAD recognizes that accessibility to electronic literature depends on more than heading off Microsoft and Apple at obsolescence pass. That is why you will also hear about development of scholarly citation standards and publishing of ELIT teaching materials to provide the academic tools needed for ELIT to receive the critical regard required for it to assume its place in our literary traditions. That is why you will also hear about our work towards archiving all the materials associated with important works of ELIT, including interviews with authors, criticism, and the original code used to create them. And finally, that is also why we will devote a significant part of the next 2 days to the complex issues of copyright, which weigh heavily on the access to ELIT and on PAD's own development work. All of these areas of endeavor are woven together in PAD, and the success of PAD depends on all of them working together in coordination. Funding for projects like this is in short supply these days, even shorter now that all our futures seem to be determined, very unfortunately, by $600,000 precision guidance missiles. But to quote Kate Hales again, the stakes are high. As electronic literature matures, it develops rhetorics, grammars, and syntaxes unique to digital environments. Learning to speak digital, it calls forth from us new modes of attending, listening, seeing, moving, navigating, that transform what it means to experience literature. Read is no longer an adequate term. If each era develops a literature that helps it understand or create what it is becoming, a better comprehension of our post-human condition requires a full range of literary expression, print and electronic. The future of electronic literature is our future. Thank you again for being here and so for helping us preserve a large part of our future.